Great privileges of being a pastor is that I often hear of healings in the church. I often hear of relationships being restored on a weekly basis. I often hear of God doing what only God can do, truly supernatural things. And there's always a lot of good news coming back. And I'll probably be the most encouraged person in the church because of it. And another bit of good news for you this morning. You know, I mentioned bring some biscuits on Saturday. There's a whole lot of yummy treats already organised for that, so don't worry about that. Just bring some shared lunch, okay? So not quite up there with healing, but good news all the same for next Saturday. Friends, we've been talking as a church about who we are in Christ Jesus. I have on my heart, and when I listen to intercessors and prophetic people, just a real conviction that without a straining or without stress or without exhausting ourselves, God's going to do a work in us and through us in this place. And it's not about trying to copy somebody else. It's not about spending 100 hours on your knees, although that's always going to be good. It's always going to be good. It's about just staying close to Jesus and following those promptings. And in order for us to follow those promptings, we really need to know who we are in Christ Jesus. If there are thought patterns and perceptions of ourselves and thought patterns, tapes that are going through our minds that are conflicting with the Word of God, they've really got to go. So we're free just to run. Run with the Lord and find that His yoke is perfectly fitted and His burden is not heavy. So we've been talking about who we are in Christ Jesus and about agreeing in our minds with what Christ says. Now I'm going to get you to turn to the person beside you in a moment and discuss a topic just for a minute. Because I've discovered in my 24, 25 years of ministry, there's one thing that will mess you up more than anything else when it comes to just being free in Christ to love people and to serve people, to hear the voice of God, to move according to your calling and your anointing as a Christian. One thing that'll trip people up. Now, this is my subjective answer. So I'm going to get you to turn to the people beside you and discuss what you think might be the number one thing that will rob you of your freedom and open your life to torment. Is it the occult, sin, unforgiveness, demonic possession, or too much chocolate? Okay, turn to the person beside you. You've got 1 minute to come up with your conclusion. Seconds left to come to consensus for the person beside you. That's awesome, thank you. Now, my answer to this question is not based on some Barna research poll or what scripture says. This is subjective, so if you disagree with me, that's okay. So my experience, having been a pastor for about 25 years, is that C is the biggest thing that will rob you of your freedom in Christ, mess with your head, and open up your life to demonic torment. C. So I know the occult. I've led witches to the Lord. I've been involved in all sorts of things with Masonic, not involved in Masonic, but getting people out of all those sorts of things. But I would actually say above all of that, the thing that will trip you up, the thing that will hold you down, is when you've been hurt and you're carrying bitterness and you think to yourself, man, that person doesn't deserve to be forgiven. I need to see them punished. I need to see them suffer before they are forgiven. I don't want to forgive them. I don't know how to forgive them. It hurts so much. I want to really speak into that this morning. God called you to freedom. God called you to an anointed life. God called you to make such an impact on your family and your grandkids and the people around you. And if there's a little bit of unforgiveness in your heart, even though you know we're meant to forgive, we're commanded to forgive, if there's a little bit of unforgiveness in your heart, you will miss out on so much of what your Heavenly Father wants for you. Now, the reason I chose to speak on that this week is because next weekend, we've got Setting a Church Free with Murray Cottle. Now, what Murray will do, he will take us for a whole series of questions, and the questions are going to identify some pretty amazing things about this church, which most of you already know. Incredible strengths in this church regarding youth ministry, regarding people we send into Bible training and off to the mission field. Incredible support of missions. But it's also going to reveal there are a few bad habits that we have as a church as well that have to change. And there will be a need and next Saturday during the weekend to actually share some stories that still hurt people. It may not be a lot of those, but they'll have to come out. And Murray will coach us through how we change that culture. So those behaviours, which might only be occasional, but have tripped us up as a church and come back again and again, they cease to be into the future of this church. Now the problem will be, when we listen to those stories and we share some of those stories, they often relate to very painful experiences. And Murray's not going to be able to say on Saturday, this is how you forgive and help us forgive people. That's between you and God today and this week. I really want to come to that place next week, you know, saying we need to deal with the good and celebrate it. We need to look at those few things we do and change them and do that in the way, a place of freedom. Just speak openly without anger, without carrying hurts from the past. So I want to believe that between today and next Saturday, God will do a supernatural work in our hearts that we can turn up and say, I'm free. I'm free. I can just discuss this stuff and make sure some of our bad patterns of behavior never reoccur again in the church. So talking about unforgiveness today is really important to me and to the church going forward. God said to the church at Corinth, chapter 2, verses 10 to 11, anyone you forgive, I also forgive. And what I've forgiven, if there was anything to forgive, I've forgiven in the sight of Christ for your sake, in order that Satan may not outwit us, for we are not unaware of his schemes. Satan's got this habit of trying to cause us to take offense, trying to convince us not to let people go and forgive people. And the moment we go to sleep, still angry, still hurt, it's going to start to mess with our minds and our perspective. And if we carry that hurt and that bitterness and that unforgiveness for a few days or a week, our perspective of reality suddenly becomes very unreal. And life gets out of perspective. And our heads become tormented with what if and did they mean this or what was the motive? And it just becomes crazy. And Satan has a field day. We're aware of Satan's schemes and we don't want to give him any place in our minds. We want to walk free in Christ Jesus. Now we know we need to forgive people. That's what we do as Christians, as God's people. But consider the words of Matthew 18, 34 and 35, because knowing that we should forgive, knowing it's a command to forgive, actually becomes even harder when you consider what Christ said. He said, talking in a parable about the unforgiving servant, the king representing God was so angry that he ordered the official to be tortured until he could pay back everything that he owed. That is how my Father in heaven will treat you if you don't forgive each of my followers with all your heart. Now, it's one thing to know in your head, I'm a Christian. This is what we do. We forgive people. That's how we live. That's how we roll as Christians. But when you hear that phrase, forgive with all your heart, all of a sudden, I just get a little bit nervous. I say, God, how do I know? How do I know that I've forgiven with all my heart and that person's released to you and I'm free? And I'm really trusting as we go through some scriptures this morning, you're going to get some answers to that question. I want you to pause for a moment and bring to mind the people that have hurt you most in life. Just for a moment. Who is the person or the persons or the group of people that have hurt you most? I want you just to just make a mental note of who that person or who those people are. Because if you've got that person in your mind, and we begin to talk through the process of unforgiveness, by the end of the worship this morning, you'll know, have you forgiven that person with all your heart? If you're following with me in your outline, let's look at some reasons why we need to forgive. Number one, God requires it from us. Amazing, the Lord's Prayer. Jesus said, you should pray like this. Our Father in heaven, help us to honor your name. Come and set up your kingdom. so that everyone on earth will obey you, as you're obeyed in heaven. Give us our food for today. Forgive us for doing wrong, as we forgive others. Keep us from being tempted and protect us from evil. If you forgive others for the wrongs they would do you, your Father in heaven will forgive you. But if you don't forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. Here's the thing. No matter what your theology is, the reality is, your relationship with God is profoundly affected by your relationship to other Christians and other people. Profoundly. Now, there are many, many people in Christianity who believe once saved, always saved, and that's fine. That is, no matter what you do and how you live after you've come into the kingdom, God's with you. I'm not one of those people. I actually believe that sometimes people can harden their hearts toward God, can get so caught up in bitterness that God's always offering grace. No one can snatch them out of his hand. But they can so harden their hearts toward God, they can no longer hear his voice. They can no longer hear his invitation. They can no longer receive the infilling of the Spirit and the grace of God. And they end up in a dangerous place. So whether you believe you're in, no matter what you do, it's not a problem. Or whether you believe like me, it's life's a bit more complicated than that. Faith is a bit more complicated. The issue is, if you don't forgive somebody, your relationship to Jesus is going to be affected for the rest of your life. No matter which theology you have, it affects your relationship with God. So God requires us to forgive. It says in verse 14, if you forgive others for the wrongs they do you, your Father in heaven will forgive you. But if you don't forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. There's a vertical and horizontal relationship that's inextricably connected. Number two, for your own freedom. I remember sitting in the pharmacy a couple of months ago, and there's a magazine there called Living Well that they hand out at the pharmacies. And as I waited for my sinus meds, which hopefully I won't need into the future, I was waiting for the sinus meds, and I picked up this magazine, and there was about a four-page article in there by a psychologist saying, this is why people must forgive. And not from a Christian perspective, but from a mental health perspective, why when you get hurt, you need to forgive straight away, or the consequences are so great. You need to forgive for your freedom. Now, in Jesus' day, there were different rabbis talking about forgiveness, and they were contrasting. Some talked about different, well, short amounts of grace, if you like. And there was one rabbinical group that had an extreme view of forgiveness. And they were going around saying, when someone hurts you, keep forgiving them up to seven times. I mean, that was outrageous. You know, that you could keep forgiving and forgiving and forgiving seven times. So there's this extreme rabbinical group. And there's this debate going on. When people are bad, when they hurt you, when they keep hurting you, how many times should you keep forgiving them? And that question, that debate was in the culture of the time. It was in the mind of the disciples. And so the disciples, Peter, comes up to Jesus, Matthew 18, verse 21, and he says in the context of that discussion of the time, Peter came up to the Lord and asked, how many times should I forgive someone who does something wrong to me? Is seven times enough? Jesus answered, not just seven times, but 77 times. The story will show you what the kingdom of heaven is like. One day a king decided to call on his officials and ask them to give an account of what they owed. As he was doing this, one official was brought in who owed 50 million silver coins. But he didn't have any money to pay what he owed. The king ordered them to be sold along with his wife and his children and all that he owned in order to pay the debt. The official got down on his knees and began begging, have pity on me and I'll pay you every cent that I owe. The king felt sorry for him and let him go free. He even told the official that he didn't have to pay back the money. As the official was leaving, he happened to meet another official who owed him 100 silver coins. He grabbed the man by the throat. He started choking him and said, pay me what you owe. The man got down on his knees and began begging, have pity on me and I'll pay you back. But the first official refused to have pity. Instead, he went and had the other official put in jail until he could pay what he owed. When some other officials found out what had happened, they felt sorry for the man who'd been put in jail. They told the king what had happened. The king called the first official back in and said, "You're an evil man. When you begged for mercy, I said you didn't have to pay back a cent. Didn't you think you should have shown pity to someone else as I did to you?" The king was so angry that he ordered the official to be tortured until he could pay back everything he owed. "This is how my Father in heaven will treat you if you don't forgive each of my followers with all your heart." Now, for those of you that study prophetic literature and scriptures, what does the number seven represent? Seven, it's all the way through the Bible. Huge in the book of Revelation. It's a number that speaks about completion or perfection. It's the perfect number. And it kind of makes sense of the 666, the imperfect number that claims to be perfect. Seven's a perfect number. It's a number of completion. And so when Jesus says you need to forgive 70 times seven, he's just saying, just need to forgive. It's not a limit. It's not 490 or something like that. You just forgive, forgive, forgive. Your lifestyle needs to be such that before you go to sleep at night, everyone that's hurt you, they've been released to him. And you're not hanging on to any bitterness, any hurt. You need to forgive completely. Interesting in the parable, the amount that the servant owed the master was an impossible figure to repay. And that parallels you and me. When you begin to get a glimpse of the holiness of God, and the debt that we owe him, that anyone who sinned once has no place in the kingdom of God. One lie, one rebellious act against your parents, one act of selfishness, one lustful thought. You are so different from God. Romans 3:23 says the wages of sin is death. We have no place in the kingdom of God. Now we've sinned more than once. And so the debt we owe our Father is, it's insurmountable. And yet we've been forgiven. Now, the debt that the servant owed, the second official owed the first official, was about 3 months' wages. And so the first official's forgiven an insurmountable amount, indescribable amount, like you and me have been forgiven by God. But the second official had 3 months' wages owing, and no grace and no mercy was shown. If we need to keep free, if we're going to stay free as God's people, and live in the authority we have, we need to forgive 70 times 7 in all situations. Number three, why should I forgive? Why should you forgive? Because you need to show mercy as you've been shown mercy. Now, God is just. It's interesting when you talk to non-Christian people, pre-Christian people, they understand God's loving. That's been out there and just pushed for so long, but they don't understand God is just and God is fair. And so when there is sin, there has to be consequences. And with God, it's exactly that. When there is sin, there is consequence. He is fair. Grace is giving people what they don't deserve. So it's going beyond justice, beyond fairness, and being extremely kind to people, extremely generous to people. We're told in Luke chapter 6, verse 36, to be merciful to others as God has been merciful to us. In other words, we're not to give people what they deserve. Christians are to go the extra mile for people, and to give them what they don't deserve. That's how we demonstrate grace and the love of God. Freely we've received God's love and forgiveness, and now we're to freely give it, it says in Matthew 10, verse 8. Point number four, why should we forgive? So Satan cannot mess with your head. I alluded to that 2 Corinthians chapter 10. One of his strategies is to get you hurt, get you offended. And there might be real reasons for that. But the moment you hang on to that, no matter how bad the other person or persons were, you're the one who's going to suffer. And something will be opened in your mind to the demonic realm, whether or not demonic presence comes in or not, it doesn't matter. That will mess with your head. And you'll begin to imagine things and think things which will just cripple your life and rob you of your joy. We're aware of Satan's devices. We will not give him an opportunity to mess with our heads. Number five, why should I forgive? It's because so the pain will stop. Often people will say to me, I can't forgive my dad because of what my dad did to me. I can't forgive my uncle because of the abuse I suffered. Then you meet the dad and you meet the uncle and they're having a great life. The person who's the victim is suffering, their life's been affected, they've been changed, and they're walking around crippled in their spirits. But you meet the dad and you meet the uncle, you meet the perpetrators, and they're just enjoying life, having a ball. Who's suffering because of the sin? Not the sinner, not the perpetrator, but the victim. Now, God doesn't want that to happen. He wants us to forgive people so we go free, so we walk free of the pain and the effect of what they did. Does it take away the memory? No, it doesn't. But does forgiving people release us from the pain and the effect of that memory in their lives today? Absolutely, yes, it does. And it's totally supernatural. God wants us to be free. He wants the pain to stop. Now, it doesn't mean that you need to trust somebody. It doesn't mean that you expose yourself to being hurt again, or there aren't consequences for actions. I've often sat with people who've had horrific experiences, and I think about the perpetrators and think, gosh, what do we do here? Now, if that perpetrator's like to do it again, I'll involve the police and everything else, you know, and to keep other people safe. But if the perpetrator's in the rest home, you know, and there's just no way they're going to hurt people again, or they're radically changed, maybe it's not such an urgent thing to take those steps. What's urgent is getting that person in front of me free from the hurt and the unforgiveness and the bitterness that they feel. I believe as you choose to forgive and God helps you forgive, you can be free from that pain and you can be healed. And you can leave the consequences up to others, up to God, sorry. But how do you get free? How do you forgive? Say you've been deeply hurt. One of my most traumatic experiences was back in Rārahi. There was a boy down there, Wudamu, and he would beat up my kids every week, all three of them. And I saw this kid often. I went to the principal, I went to the parents, I once phoned the police, that might have been over the top, I'm not sure. You know, I didn't trust the kid ever, but I had to forgive him. And yet for week after week after week, for 3.5 years, he'd assault my kids. I had to be free, and I had to know that I'd forgiven him as well. So what's the process of forgiveness? Number one, I believe it's important to remember what's happened and acknowledge the pain. Sometimes people just, oh, forgive, choose to forgive. And they haven't gone there and thought about what's been involved. And it becomes superficial. You need to start with acknowledging what's happened, acknowledging the pain. Number two, recognize that you alone can forgive them and show them mercy, just as God has shown you mercy. And sometimes it starts off just saying every day, I forgive, and I bless. And as you're doing it, just as it says in the Lord's Prayer, as you forgive, the forgiveness comes and that freedom comes and your emotions are touched and you're set free as well. Only you can forgive them. See, recognize that forgiving them is not something you do with them, but something you do with God. There's this crazy idea that people have that if you hurt me, then you should come to me and confront me with my sin and I should be sorry for my sin for you to be free of the hurt. It's not true. If I hurt you or you hurt me, Bible's very, very plain. I'm not to go and tell somebody else that you've hurt me. I'm not to go and get support because you've hurt me. I go to one place when you hurt me. Or if you hurt me, and it may never happen, but if it did, the Bible's very clear. If I've been hurt, if I've been offended, I get on my knees and I tell my dad, Dad, it's horrible. Dad, I was hurt deeply. Dad, this is what it felt like. And Dad, I choose to forgive that person. The only one that needs to know when I've been hurt or when you've been hurt is your Father in heaven. Scripture's very plain about it. Anything else becomes sin and really begins to mess up the body of Christ. But if you know you've hurt somebody else, it's a very different matter. If we've said something and done something that's offended somebody else, particularly in the church, then Scripture says, leave your gift at the altar. Now you might think, they shouldn't have been offended. You know, they shouldn't have been worried about that. They're crazy. They overreacted or this or that. Irrelevant. If you know and you hear that you've caused somebody else hurt, then Scripture says you leave your gift at the altar and you go to them and you ask for forgiveness and you seek to be a peacemaker and restore the relationship. If I'm hurt, if you're hurt, Dad. If someone else is hurt through us, we go to them. That's when you go to them and deal with it. Let God be their judge. Let God alone be their judge. Sometimes we have this idea that until they suffer, until that's known what they've done, you know, I can't forgive them. That's just not biblical. You just pass them over to the Lord. And finally, you need to accept that their sin has consequences on your life and you resolve to live with that. Maybe someone burgled you. Maybe someone said and did terrible things against your reputation. That is going to have an effect. It is. So you forgive them, but you've got to accept the fact that their sin has affected your life, and that's just the way it is. And you get on with loving Jesus and giving thanks for his goodness. Forgiveness is not forgetting. Only God can do that. Forgiveness is not trusting this boy that beat up my kids repeatedly in Rarotonga. I never trusted the kid. Never had a home for a coffee or, to play with my kids. No way. He hadn't earned my trust. But forgive him, yes, I had. Forgiveness is not seeking revenge. It's not making sure they pay for what they said or what they did. Romans 12, verse 19 says, "Dear friends, don't try to get even. Let God take revenge." And in the scriptures, the Lord says, "I am the one to take revenge and to pay them back." Now, friends, what we're going to do now is two things. We're going to look at a prayer on your screen. It's in your newsletter and your inserts. And I'm going to read it slowly to you. And I want you to fill in the gaps. Then we're going to worship for a period of time. And I'm just trusting the Holy Spirit. As we look at this prayer, and I read it, and you just say it silently in your head. And as we worship, God, because God is so good. God, because he's forgiven you and I so much. We just begin to pour in his grace. Release his presence and his power all over you so you can finally let that person or persons go. Just have a look at this prayer in your newsletter. Or up on the, we've got it for the screen too. Yes, that's fantastic. And I'll just read it to you. I'll say this out loud, if you can just say it in your heart or in your mind. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you that you have forgiven me so much. Today, dear Lord, I choose to forgive and put that person or person's name in there for what they did. And just take a moment to recall their sin and their behavior and what they did to hurt you. For what they did or failed to do, which made me feel, and then fill in the gap. I choose to let you be the judge. I choose not to take revenge or to make them suffer for what they've done to me. I forgive them, Lord, and release them to you, Lord, for your blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. Now with this boy that hurt me in Rarotonga, he will hurt my kids, which hurt me. I would bless that kid every day for about 3 months. I'll not only say, God, I choose to forgive, but God, I choose to bless. And when I saw this kid walking in the streets of Rarotonga, there wasn't a reaction. It's like, nothing like that. Just, God, I feel so sorry for him. Can I keep my kids safe from him? But God, I want you to bless him. I want you to give him encounters with you today. I want good things to come his way. Church, I'm going to ask you to stand with Adrian and the team. We're going to continue to worship. I want you to be open to what God will want to do to you and say in you. So often in worship, Holy Spirit comes. He just begins to heal things. You go, gosh, I don't know. Why am I crying? Why am I feeling tearful? Well, Dad knows. Dad's doing Dad stuff. Just let him do it. Just love him together. Let's stand together. At the end of this bracket of songs, we're going to read a declaration together on forgiveness. Just trust God to help us walk in freedom, not just today, but forever. That's what his kids do. That's what we're called to.